The book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 18, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 18, verse 1. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said to them. No one from the tribe of Levi had any big allotment on which they could farm like the other tribes. They busied themselves with the Lord's work. And consequently, when an Israelite brought an offering to God, the Levites and priests received that offering. If you were a Levite who ministered at the central sanctuary, you lived off the offerings and sacrifices made to the Lord. And if you were a Levite in one of the other cities of Israel, you depended on the gifts of God's people in your area. Verse 3. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, and they shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the inner parts. The first fruit also of your corn, of your wine, and of your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep shall you give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. The priests were doing their duty on behalf of God, so God tells Israel, you make sure those priests get a portion of each sacrifice. If we're there for God, you can bet that he will be there for us. And it says that God chose the sons of Aaron to be priests. You know, the Bible says that every Christian is a priest. A person who knows Jesus has been placed into Jesus' family. And since Jesus is the great high priest, that means every real Christian is a member of the priestly family. 6. And if a Levite come from any of your gates out of all Israel where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind to the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, beside that which comes of the sale of his patrimony. Talking about his father's estates. Anyway, if a Levite decided to pack his belongings and moved to Jerusalem and minister in the central sanctuary, he was welcome to do so. And he was entitled to some provisions that a Levite who'd been there all his life was entitled to. Verse 9. When you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Mimic, the heathen who lived there before you. Don't learn their ways. Stay busy learning God's ways through the Word of God. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. For these nations which you shall possess hearkened to observers of times and to diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. So God didn't, and doesn't for that matter, call diviners, sorcerers, witches, and soothsayers to minister to his people. And that's completely wrong, completely foreign to God. Those sort of things are from hell. They are inspired of the devil. They have nothing in the world to do with God. Every last one of them are totally 100% detestable to the Lord God. And all these things that God calls detestable either involve fortune telling the future, or magic. So, now you know God's opinion of anything that involves fortune telling and magic today. You might think it's just a fun thing, but it isn't. You may think it's just innocent, but it isn't. And I don't care how it's presented, it is evil. And I don't care how many big Hollywood stars promote it, it's an abomination to God. This stuff is pure garbage in God's eyes, because it separates life from ethics and life from morality. God's moral laws promote life and blessing. Magic, witchcraft, and those other things are attempts to circumvent the moral law of God. It's an attempt to be religious without morality, God's morality. And one thing's for certain, those who rely on those sorts of things are not trusting in the Lord. And again, that's immoral as far as God is concerned. And one other thing is certain. Many people who mess around with these occult practices end up being in bondage to demons, because demons can control their lives by manipulating these things. 15. The Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like to me. To him you shall hearken, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said to me, they have well spoken, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like to you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The Canaanites had their sorcerers and witches and diviners. God told Israel, I've got something a lot different in mind for you. Much different. God would speak to his people through prophets. When God first descended on Mount Sinai, all the people heard him speak, but it was too much for them to handle. So they pleaded for Moses to be their go-between. God said, okay. And here he tells them that that's how it's always going to be. There will be a long succession of prophets after Moses, speaking to the people on behalf of God. That's why God said, him you shall hear. But this isn't just a promise of successive prophets. Read verse 18 again. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like to you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. God had one special prophet in mind here, and that promise was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a prophet, a priest, and a king. The only one who could fulfill all three of those holy offices. 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Since God said prophets would be there to speak in his name, and since God said the Israelites were obligated to listen and obey the words of a prophet, that made the prophet an important person, obviously. And if a false prophet stood up and spoke lies in God's name, he was asking for big trouble, and he would get it too. A false prophet, I don't care if it's back then or today, is in effect trying to displace God. 21. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. So if his prediction failed, he was a false prophet. He was a fraud. And no Israelite was to waste his or her time worrying about any prediction of doom for not listening to a false prophet like that.